We begin our service in the name of God, transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen. Good evening, friends. Good to be together in this sanctuary tonight, and I thank you for your presence. And those of us joining online, thank you for your presence. Whenever you might watch this or wherever you might be, we send the love of God to you. Just a reminder for those of you who attend in person in particular, 2 weeks from tonight will be November 23rd, and there will not be a service on that Wednesday evening. That's Thanksgiving Eve. So just a reminder that 2 weeks from tonight, there will not be a service either in person or broadcast. Let's take a moment in the silence as we wish for this service to bless us, as we ponder the mystery of being filled with God's presence. What is it that you are in need of tonight, and how is the Spirit working in your life today? May it be so. Amen.
Our first reading is taken from Pseudo-Dionysius. Into this dark beyond all light, we pray to come and, unseeing and unknowing, to see and to know God that is beyond seeing and beyond knowing, precisely by not seeing, by not knowing. For that is truly to see and to know and to him transcendently, God that transcends all, that is, negating to do as sculptors do, drawing from marble the statue latent there, removing all that hinders or hides, the pure spectacle of the hidden form and displaying, with this mere removal, the beauty hidden there. One must, I think, him in negating and affirming, for affirmations proceed from the topmost through the middlemost to the lowest. But here, from the lowest to the topmost, one denies them all, thus to lay bare the unknowable, who is by all known beings veiled. To see the transcendent dark that is by the light of beings hid. Our second reading is from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love.
So what is it that is surpassing knowledge, and that when you have it, it fills you with the fullness of God? What is it, this quality that surpasses knowledge, and when you have it, it fills you with the fullness of God? It's love, he says. May the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge fill you with all the fullness of God. It's a beautiful statement that reminds us all that the Christian journey is less about intellect and knowledge and more about this quality of love, this substance of love, this reality of being, a quality of being that fills us more and more with the overflowing quality and qualities of God. This passage is something we've gone over before on a Wednesday night. And we're halfway through the book of Ephesians and hope to finish the book of Ephesians by the end of the year here. But tonight, just a brief word on this invitation to be filled with the fullness of God. It's a lovely turn of phrase, to be filled with the fullness of God. The first reading we heard that Valerie read for us was from Pseudo-Dionysius, who's from his mystical theology. And he's one of the first to develop in a Christian way what is known as negative theology, that you can know by not knowing, that you feel into this wondrous relationship with God by unknowing or by faith, by the silence, by the darkness, so to speak, by waiting, by not knowing, by not seeing, by trusting. And this is a beautiful way for all of us to live, kind of letting go and letting God. And this dark theology is not always convenient or easy for us, because we would like to have certainty. We would like to know and put our thumb on it, so to speak, to have clarity. But on the spiritual journey, many, many times, we know this for a fact, that we can't see, and we can only see the shadows, so to speak, or not even that. And so this idea of being filled with something that transcends love, I mean that transcends knowledge, that it is love, that is the love that allows us to see through the darkness and through the dark nights, this quality of love. It's hard because sometimes when we are in a dark night or can't see, we oftentimes feel disconnected in an emotional center way. And when we feel that pain of lack of love in our lives, those are the hardest dark nights of all, when we don't feel the quality of God's loving presence in our lives. So it's one of these things where we must decide to trust even though we can't see, to believe even though we don't understand, and to feel even when the emotional center is muted and, you might say, in the shadows. And this is a beautiful thing for all of us to remember, that the spiritual journey is one of feeling and trusting God despite the intellectual capacity to even know. And just a word on this related to Ilya Delio's visit this past weekend. And sometimes I feel that we have so much new knowledge that people are trying to integrate into the spiritual journey, like the cosmology and like the sociology that is a useful critique and sometimes expands our understanding of Christianity. But in many ways, for me, it leaves me feeling intellectually frustrated and deeply confused, and isn't edifying in my faith. And I wish for something nourishing for my spiritual journey, not something that contributes to my confusion. And so I return to this prayer again and again as an example of what a teacher and what ministers can offer to people, is by praying and just repeating St. Paul's prayer. It's so nourishing and it's so edifying as a model for what we can give to other people, what we can give to ourselves and what we can give to other people. Just simply pray that people would experience the love of God that transcends or is beyond their ability to understand anything, that they would be filled with all the fullness of God. And lastly, to think about the ways in which we're filled with all the fullness of God, just a couple images to just be attracted to in one way or the other. Perhaps one will attract itself to you more than the other. But we are filled by way of immersion. You can be immersed in something, like I was doing the dishes and I stick the pot into the dishwater and the pot sinks. And the water collapses into the pot and fills the pot's emptiness, and thus it sinks. And so it is completely immersed in the fullness of God, so to speak, in the fullness of the water. And the water is in the pot and the pot is in the water. This notion of being immersed in God is a lovely way of thinking about it. And water is that image that helps us understand the way in which we're in God and God is in us. Another image that helps us understand what it means to be filled with all the fullness of God, even though we can't understand it intellectually, this is an experience more than anything, is the idea of transfusion, to be filled with all the fullness of God. And we can think of not just water being immersed in something, but the transfusion of blood. And if anyone has ever given blood or needed blood, I've been experiencing a lot of this with our little Reese having chemotherapy and transfusions, needing all complete new blood cycled through her body, a little 2-year-and-a-half-year-old. And this transfusion of the filling of life coming to her from someone else's blood, that it's the machine's taking her blood out, but at the same time replacing it with something new, someone else's clean blood that matches her blood type. This is another way that we are transfused little by little, and we can experience the fullness of God, to be filled with all the fullness of God by way of transfusion and that image of blood. Now, how does this equate to our spiritual journey? Well, if you think about influences, what kinds of influences are filling our life force, like blood is a representation of our life force, what's filling us? What are we hooking up to, so to speak, as an IV? What are we receiving into our being existence, into our intellectual and emotional field of existence? What are we receiving from someone else? And if it's negative emotions or a negative emanation, that affects us. But if these influences are of a higher quality, that energizes us, so to speak, and wisdom and spiritual writings can do that in a significant way, but not all spiritual writings. One of the things I'm discovering at 50 years old is how many books have been written. I thought I could read them all, but I've realized I can't. I'm just going to focus on the classics. But the truth is that I've spent years of my life reading nonsense, thinking it meant something or I should understand it. And I've just discovered that no, actually, it's just bad writing. There's actually a ton of bad spiritual writing out there. And to learn to know what not to read as an influence is the first thing they should teach you at school, is to avoid this whole nonsense, this whole segment of literature is just not useful. Focus on the blood type that works for you. Focus on this infusion and let that fill you up with all the fullness of God. Another image, in addition to being immersed and having this transfusion, is the idea of inspiration, which is something that is a very, nebulous idea. And that is
this inspiration that is represented by breath, to literally inspire. And the notion of conspirare, which is literally mean to breathe with another, or to breathe in harmony with another being, to be conspirare, to be co-breathed, is a lovely phrase for us to be inspired by the spirit, by the beauty of the earth, by the beauty of music, by the beauty of the Eucharist, by the companionship of other friendship, by the inspiration, so to speak, of what we read in certain poems or certain segments of spiritual writings inspire us in a way, and we co-breathe. It nourishes us, it inspires us, it infills us. And that is another way in which we can experience this filling and that fullness of God. It's not to say that we ever actually know when the fullness of God is reached, but it's our experience of being filled with the fullness of God. The reason it feels full is because there's always more of God, and we don't have the capacity, because we're not God, to receive all of God. And this is a great, great thing to remember and just to keep in the forefront, so to speak, that when we blur the Creator and the creation, we end up with these kinds of great confusions that people are God, that we are God, and that we lose sight of the fact that there's always more to God than what we are experiencing of God. This is the problem with pantheism. This is the problem with so much of New Age spirituality, just collapsing it down into this is God. But it's true, you can say, at a certain level, this is God. This is a co-inspiration of God in you, a physical being, yes. But there's more to God. In other words, this is not the extent, the fullness of God. This is not the full extent of God. It's the fullness of God, but God is overflowing, and there's always more and more and more to God, which keeps us growing and unfolding and moving deeper and deeper on the spiritual journey. And more than anything else on the spiritual journey, that goes hand in hand with this love, that is this quality that transcends knowledge and that leads to this feeling of being filled with all the fullness of God. It's love that leads to that feeling of the fullness of God. The fruit of that love that leads to the fullness of God overflowing in our lives, the fruit of that love is first and foremost humility. And where humility is not occurring, you might as well simply, you know, wash your hands and stomp your feet and wipe your dust off your feet and go somewhere else, because humility is the primary fruit of love, and it leads to service. And that is the essence of God's mission in the world, to love and to serve through each of us. And so may we ponder how we might surrender more to the unknowing way, the way of darkness, this beautiful way of faith, and trust in the power of love. And I know we haven't defined love, but more than anything else, you can simply say that love is the willingness to serve, and the willingness to surrender, and that is love in action. And God demonstrates this for us in the person of Jesus, the willingness to serve and the willingness to surrender. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment in the silence and allow the Spirit to complete its work in our lives. Amen.
And now let us rest in the silence of God's love for 20 minutes of centering prayer.
Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and we know that you always hear us. It is you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us the faith to pray with, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear an answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper had ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's work here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you for your presence tonight. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace, the power of the Holy Spirit is with each of us, now and always.